Chad, you can start talking now. We're on
now?
The air now.
Now?
Yeah.
Now.
Okay. You can start now, Chad.
Good evening, everybody. Host. Welcome to two of our four simultaneous podcasts this evening. This is our Atlantic 10 podcast. If you were here to listen, to watch our American Athletic Conference preview, go up there.
Right. It's up there.
If you're here for the Mountain West or the West Coast, down there somewhere. But if you are here for the Atlantic 10 and the thrilling discussion we're going to have for the next 2.5 hours about the Duquesne men's basketball program,
Yeah. Welcome.
And welcome to our Hoops HD 2016-17 Atlantic 10 preview. I am your host, Chad Sherwood. Joining us with video, John Titel. Also joining us, John Slica and David Griggs. And we want to get right into it here with the Atlantic 10. And
Love this league. Love it. Bad TV deal, good league.
John S., one of the big stories early in the season last year was E.C. Matthews going down with his injury for Rhode Island. He is healthy this year so far, knock on wood. My question is, what is your thoughts on Danny Hurley's team here for Rhode Island? Can they be the team this year that we thought they would be last year?
Matthews is healthy, but we'll have to see how the rest of the Rams are able to hold up. But as far as their schedule coming up, they're going to have some tests against Cincinnati and either Duke or Penn State as far as the Hall of Fame tip-off. They also have a return game against Valpo that was part of the tip-off marathon last year but is going to be in December this year. They also have their fixture game against Providence and also a game against Houston that could be pivotal for both teams going into their respective conferences.
It's a good schedule.
Well, let's beyond the schedule, though. John T., four starters are back for this team. Guys got a lot of experience when Matthews was down last year. They were the top team defensively in the conference. And Mike Lessard here coming in as a rookie, as a freshman, maybe one of the top in the conference. Where do you think this roadie team finishes this year?
I just want to enjoy myself on the video for a second. Okay, thank you.
All right, we'll give you a minute here.
They're a very good team. A lot of experience. Hassan Martin and Corinne Iverson, seniors. Martin was the conference defensive player of the year last year. Matthews was the co-rookie of the year back in 2014 when he actually was healthy. Dan Hurley, arguably the second or third best of the Hurley coaching family, but he's got some skills, and he must have learned from his dad, who's a Hall of Famer, and Bob Hurley Sr. My only concern is partly the schedule. It seems pretty stacked. They have, as John was saying, a ton, Cincinnati, Valpo, Providence, Houston. That being said, it's a good team. I don't think they have the track record to go far, but I think they can squeeze into the tournament if Matthews is healthy.
David, do you agree that this is a roadie team is a team that's just going to barely squeeze into the tournament, or do you think they're going to finish better than that in this conference?
Well, you just want some good luck, or at least no bad luck, to finally go roadie's way. We've seen them before where they've been good and either had injuries or dropped key games late in the season. Last year, we were expecting them to be a solid tournament team. We all were excited about them at this point just last year, just like we are at this point this year. They talk about curses. This team has had so much bad luck in the last 15, 20 years. It's remarkable. So it's hard for me to say that it's not going to happen again, but you hope that it doesn't. If they stay healthy, I don't think they squeak in. I think they're in on the first ballot, meaning 9 seed or better, way inside the bubble. They're a good team. They're in the preseason rankings, and they should be if they're healthy.
Well, John T., let me head back to you here. Who do you think is going to win the Atlantic 10 this year?
It's a toss-up. I don't think there's a clear favorite. If I had to pick one, it would probably be between VCU and Dayton, and just because Dayton has a coach who's been there a little longer and is named Miller, I'll go with the Flyers. A ton of veteran leadership. Kyle Davis, Sr., Charles Cook, Sr., Kendall Pollard, Sr., Scoochie Smith, Sr. I think Archie can just throw them out there, roll out a ball, and let them do their thing. The schedule's not crazy. They might play Nebraska, so stop the presses. But yeah. I really think Dayton can go all the way.
Yeah, I am excited about this Dayton team this year. They were one of three teams along with St. Joe's and VCU to make the field out of the A-10 last year. Stalika, one of the saddest and worst stories we heard in the offseason did come out of Dayton, unfortunately, with Steve McElvain, though. I know you're in the Ohio area. Your thoughts on Dayton team and how they pull together after that, his tragic passing.
I mean, if you go back for about 20 years, I think another sad part is he's not the only one who has died at a young age. There was also Matt Derenbecker who died in, I think it was a drowning accident a couple years ago. And then there was Chris Daniels, who was in Dayton's first season, who they also named the Sixth Man Award after. The Flyers have had a lot of tough luck in their history, but I still think they're a team that's going to be capable of winning the regular season with the personnel that John T. had alluded to, but probably not going to win the tournament in Pittsburgh this year.
David, do you like the Dayton team as well as to be the regular season champion?
Yes. I think Rhode Island is better. It's either going to be them or Rhode Island. I think Rhode Island is slightly better if they're healthy, but I really like this Dayton team. I love their senior leadership. I could see them putting together a similar profile to what they did a year ago. And I think losing Steve McElvain is going to hurt. It was so sad. We mentioned it on here when it happened, dying suddenly, unexpectedly of an enlarged heart. And I don't think he was aware he even had that condition. And it wasn't on the practice floor. It wasn't anything like that. He was home visiting his family. I mean, it must have just been, I can't even imagine how horrifying it would have been. But that aside, I do really, really like this Dayton team. Right now, it's kind of a toss-up for me, 1A and 1B, between them and Rhodey, a healthy Rhodey team.
Well, but on a light note for Dayton, if you look at their non-conference schedule for December, you'll notice St. Joe's on here. That's not Phil Martelli and the Hawks, but St. Joe's of Indiana.
That's odd.
Yeah, but other than that, they do have their usual slate of tests going into the Atlantic 10. They go to Alabama. They host St. Mary's prior to the Wooden Legacy in Anaheim. And they also have games at Northwestern and also at home against Vanderbilt.
Yeah, it is a tough schedule there for Dayton. And David, let me go back to you here for a second on the other team that Tytel mentioned, which is VCU. Mo Alie-Cox, Justin Tillman back, Melvin Johnson, Corey Bilberry not back. Where do you have this VCU team if they're not in your 1A, 1B grouping?
Third. Okay. And I think they make the field. I really like Will Wade. I think he'll – I know it's only his second year there, but, I mean, I think he's a really good coach. I think he did really well at Chattanooga, and although he wasn't the coach there last year, I think he was deserving of some of the credit for being as good as they were. And he stepped in the VCU and did really well there. So I think they're third. I think they're in the NCAAs.
John T., where is VCU going to get the outside scoring from without guys like Johnson and Bilberry back?
They are going to get it from Jordan Burgess, who's on the wing as a senior. They're going to get it from their point guard, Daquan Lewis, a senior, and from their shooting guard, Doug Brooks, who is, you guessed it, a senior.
All right, so you do think they have enough offense here to finish near the top. What's their schedule look like, Stalika?
For VCU, it's not going to be quite as difficult as it has been in past years. They are going to be part of the Battle Atlantis on the same half as Baylor, Michigan State, and St. John's. They also have a neutral court game against Illinois, a home game against Georgia Tech. They also have Old Dominion on the road, which is kind of a fixture Colonial game, and a game at Liberty that I have not been able to figure out.
That is odd. They go to Old Dominion. That's a standard rivalry game. I still think they look at ODU as being a bigger rival than Richmond.
Well, it is an in-state game there with the Liberty game, so that could be part of the reason for it. But beyond these top three, David, let me start with you. Is this a three-bid league, or is there a fourth team here that you're also looking at?
I mean, it's at least a three-bid league. It wouldn't shock me if a fourth team got in. One of the teams that I don't really know, I read your review, and I know you're not that big on George Washington, but it wouldn't shock me with all they have coming back. And I know that they lost their coach, but their coach was seemingly a problem. Maybe they're a little bit better off without him. Sometimes something like that can really bring a team together. Or sometimes it can crash them into a mountain. So I don't know if they're going to finish first or last, but I bet it's somewhere in between.
Well, Tytel, this is your NIT champions last year. They're in your backyard there at GW. I probably would have picked them around fourth or fifth in this conference, but for the whole mess with Mike Lonergan, which I think is going to have a carryover effect. I know you are not high on teams with the new head coaches. So where do you see GW finishing here?
I do not see them finishing in the top four, and I'm going to frankly disagree with David. I think they lost a ton of talent from last year. They bring back Kavanaugh, who is the MVP of the NIT, and Yuta Watanabe, but I think they lost key players like Larson and Mitala, and I think they're actually going to suffer this year. The thing I want to focus on with them is their schedule, which is crazy. So I don't know if they're planning to move to Florida to escape everything in D.C. that's going on these days. December alone, South Florida, Florida State, UCF, and Miami on the schedule. Like, seriously, what's going on with that?
Florida's nice in December.
I wouldn't mind spending December in Florida either. Yeah, maybe I should become a GW fan. I don't know.
Two of the four are in D.C.
What about Davidson? I know we're going to get to them.
Well, David, let me actually get to that. That's the team I wanted to bring up here. And this is the team that I am picking as the fourth best team in the conference, this Davidson team. And a couple of years ago, I was very anti-Davidson, as some of you may remember.
Good Davidson.
Bad Davidson. But Jack Gibbs is good enough to possibly carry the entire team here this year, especially with a lot of weakness in lower down in the conference. They've got Peyton Aldridge coming back as well. He had 15.5 points a game. They had some defensive problems last year. If they can improve there, I really think this Davidson team could challenge for it for a tournament bid.
Yeah, and whereas I have all kinds of questions about GW, I could see them doing well, but I could see them doing very poorly. I feel pretty confident about Davidson. I don't know if I think they're NCAA tournament good, but this is a team that generally goes deep into its bench and always seems to, while they do lose players, they have a bunch coming back. I think they have, is it three starters they have back? And you mentioned Jack Gibbs, real good. Not the best defensive team normally, but they can certainly score the ball. I could see them. If I had to pick a team to finish fourth, it would be them.
Yeah. In terms of expectations, I think Davidson is Butler light in some respects. Let's not forget 2 years ago, they were picked to finish 14th out of a possible 14 teams in the A-10.
Not by
me. They wind up winning the regular season title. And then last year, they're picked to finish fourth, picked to get back to the NCAA tournament, and they don't wind up making any postseason. So which team is the real Davidson?
Well, the Davidson issue here, and John T., you may want to I'll throw this over to you here, is the defense. They were 304th in the nation in scoring defense last year and 304th in the nation in rebounding margin. Is that going to be the biggest problem this year with this Davidson team?
It's going to be on the short list. I really think, as great as Jack Gibbs is, I think back to our discussion the other night about Maryland, of all places. I see him as the superstar of the team and perhaps the conference, but not enough of a support staff, although Peyton Aldridge is a great player. He had 14 a couple of years ago in the tourney when they lost to Iowa. He had 16 last year when they lost to Florida State in the NIT. So he can play when the spotlight is shining. I just think, much like with Maryland, you've got to double-team Jack Gibbs, if not triple-team him all game, and you'll win. He's only one man. He's a great player, but there's not enough around him.
Well, let me stick with you, Tytel, here. Who is there? Do you have a fourth team that's a tournament contender in this conference, if not GW and not Davidson?
I'm actually going to go with a sleeper, which I don't think they're going to make it, but I want you to take a look at keeping the Philly pride going, LaSalle.
I've heard this call here by a few people. Go ahead.
Really? But I feel a little better. So not because that they have this great team coming back from last year. It's the fact that they have Coach Dr. John Giannini, who is a doctor, so he must know what the heck he's doing. And the fact that they bring in transfers from big schools, Savon Goodman from Arizona State, B.J. Johnson from Syracuse, Jordan Price from Auburn. They're not all going to go out and score 19 a game. I get it. But when you bring in our five guys to an A-10 type conference, I think they can give the other guys a run for their money.
I think it's noteworthy to point out the last time they made the NCAA tournament and also made the Sweet 16 in 2013, they also had quite a few transfers, including Ramon Galloway. But that's kind of a risky way to reload and revamp your roster, I would think.
Well, this was actually the plan heading into last season, was that they were building towards this year and try to get the guys that could play the experience and with all these transfers coming in. But it is trying to get a lot of pieces to mesh together. David, are you on the LaSalle bandwagon?
Only for so far. I think they're much improved. I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see them in a postseason tournament. I mean, as opposed to having won only 8 or 9 games a year ago, I don't think they're contending for the NCAA tournament, not even close. But they're going to be a lot better. Like another team that's really, really on the rise that I know you like.
Jed. Yeah, you know, if we're talking about former Metro Atlantic programs like LaSalle, you know where we're going to segue next.
Well, I'll just go right there. I was going to throw it over to you, Sleeka, but I'll stick right here. I have for the last 2 years, maybe three, said that this was the year that Fordham finally makes a run. Now, last year they did make the postseason. They did have one of their best years yet with Jeff Neubauer, has done a great job since he came over from Eastern Kentucky.
Fantastic job.
And maybe finally the guy to get Fordham on the back on the basketball map here. I don't know that it's not going to be an NCAA bid worthy
this year.
I think this Rams team is going to continue to improve. They had last year's Rookie of the Year, and Joseph Chartnoy. They've got Javonte Hawkins, who's an Eastern Kentucky transfer, coming in following his head coach over this year. Little bit of problem in size down low, or maybe a very big problem in size down low. But Tytel, any thoughts on Fordham this year?
I love the German Christian Sengfelder as a junior power forward, so they'll have something down low. I also like the schedule a lot. Instead of NJIT, they have NYIT on their schedule in a couple Mondays on the 14th. And in non-conference play, they only have one top 100 team, Texas Arlington, and it's at home in New York. I don't think they're going to go like 10-2 in non-conference play or anything, but it's a favorable non-conference schedule.
A tough road test at Harvard is actually probably their toughest non-conference game, honestly.
Yeah, they did win nine conference out-of-conference games last year, and I know this is a very weak schedule, but they're not playing like they're going to be a tournament team yet. I think they're playing like a program that's building, and is 17-14, 8-10 in conference spectacular? No, but for Fordham, they have not been that good in recent memory, and they're going to be even better next year. So while they're not a tournament team, it's still fun to watch them build their program. And yet Jeff Neubauer is doing a fantastic job. This isn't a backhanded compliment, or it's not intended to be. I am genuinely impressed with the progress he's making with a program that was utterly trash.
If you want to go way back to, was it 1998-99? Nick McCarchuk was actually A-10 Coach of the Year when Fordham had finished, I think it was 7-9 in the conference. It was a testament to how good a coach he was and just how bad the infrastructure was at Fordham within their athletic department.
Right.
Sleek, let me stick with you for a second here. Is there anybody else in this conference that we have not yet discussed that you do think is going to be able to potentially contend for that NCAA tournament bubble?
Well, there's always going to be St. Bonaventure, because Mark Schmidt has always done, seems to be one of the more consistent programs in the Atlantic 10. But as we saw last year, St. Bonnie actually turned out to be the very first team that was left out and led Bernadette McLay, the A-10 commissioner, to make some rather scathing comments about what should the A-10 do from here as far as how do you schedule? How do you prepare to get into the tournament?
And David, St. Bonaventure did get a game against Florida, and that's about it. So I don't think they really upgraded the schedule this year much.
No.
And they also did lose Deion Wright, probably their best player. So that's a couple of blows.
Right. Yeah, they'll be formidable, but they won't be NCAA tournament caliber. I don't think anyways.
Tytel, is there anybody else in this conference that you think is worth discussing?
Yes, I want to go with Richmond. They have a lot of good senior leaders. TJ Klein, who's Nancy Lieberman's son. Marshall Wood, who transferred in from Virginia Tech. And Chandre Jones, who was the sixth man of the year in the conference back in 2015. Chris Mooney is a Princeton grad, so I can't give him too much credit, of course. But he's been there 11 years now, and he knows how to coach. The schedule is going to give them a lot of tests early. Maryland, Wake Forest, Texas Tech. It's going to be a busy couple months before they enter A-10 play. But with their seniors, I don't think they're winning 20 games, but I think they are going to go 18-ish, and I think that they will give people problems.
David, this was another team that had a lot of trouble defensively last year, much like Davidson did. Do you like Richmond at all?
I like Richmond every year, and they always let me down. I love Chris Mooney. I'm a little surprised he hasn't had more success there than what he has. Instinctively, I just, rational or not, I always feel like that they're on the verge of having a big year, and I still feel that way, but to come out and say it would not be a good idea. So, no, I don't think they're going to do it.
Stalika, we have a new head coach in the Atlantic 10 out in St. Louis, Travis Ford. How do you think he's going to be able to break out to eventually rebuild this program?
I got some good news for St. Louis. They have a top 10 recruit coming in. The bad news is you're just going to have to wait one more season for that to happen. But I don't see anything close to postseason in store for the Billikens for this year.
Yeah, and I think we've reached that point in the conference where we're not really talking about postseason this year, although Titel, a team that was in the NCAA tournament last year, we have not yet discussed, is giving a little more Philly love here as St. Joe's. Is there anything left here after last season?
I think they lost a little bit.
They lost a lot in Gembry and Miles, and they're not going back to the tourney, I don't think. Tough little schedule, Villanova, Princeton, of course, Penn. I mean, it's going to be a struggle for Martelli, but he's got a nice backcourt with James Demery and Shavar Newkirk. I had the privilege of interviewing them last month. Also, Lamar Kimball at the point, a.k.a. Fresh. But I think it's going to be more of a rebuilding year. Look for St. Joe's next year when they have some more seniors to get it done.
David, year two of Dave Paulson at George Mason, trying to clean up Paul Hewitt's mess. Any strides being made there?
No.
Okay, no.
Would you like me to elaborate?
If you want to.
No.
Okay. Stalika, how about UMass? Anything that you see looking there for Derek Kellogg's team?
Well, Derek Kellogg seems to have been there for almost, 10 to 15 years, but even then, it's surprising how much patience their fans have had with only one tournament appearance, and that was an early flame out against Tennessee. But I'm not seeing much hope in the horizon for the Minutemen this year.
Well, not this year. They do have a top 30 or so recruiting class coming in. Kellogg's actually in his ninth season this year, just a minor correction, but it feels like
not
he's been there
far off. Longer.
Titel, do you see anything there for either of those teams, George Mason, UMass?
I don't. Okay. Eric Kellogg, solid coach. Dave Paulson, rebuilding in his second year, but no.
And as I promised at the top of the show, the remaining 2 hours we will now be spending nothing but Duquesne basketball. David, would you like to start us out on Duquesne?
Should I just turn it off?
Let me just go through each of you real quickly here. Tell me what teams you feel from this conference are going to make the field. David, let me start with you.
VCU, Rhodey, Dayton.
Three teams. Titel.
I will set the over-under 2.5. I think VCU and Dayton are near locks. Rhodey has a shot if healthy, but I don't believe in their health. So I think they're out, but I hope they prove me wrong.
And Stalika.
I alluded to their name from 2 years ago, so I'm going to go with three teams in Dayton, VCU, and good Davidson to get the automatic bid.
I think it's unanimous on Dayton and VCU. I do think Rhode Island gets in as well. And if they have a shot at a fourth, which I think would be a first four type of team, is Davidson is my fourth pick here. But for myself, Chad Sherwood, John Titel, John Stalika, David Griggs.
Next gen.
Up there, the American. Down there next, the powerful Mountain West Conference.
Oh, no!
We'll talk to you in a few minutes. Oh.